Why your company might cut off your spouse's health care.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. UPS is ending health coverage for the spouses of 15,000 non-union employees. Spouses who can get insurance through their own jobs will be kicked off the UPS plan. The company blames the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. For more on how this could impact our health, we're joined by J.B. Silvers. He's professor of healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, J.B.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. So we've seen companies make cuts because of the healthcare overhaul. We've also seen some companies make cuts that they wanted to make and just blame the healthcare overhaul. Do you know what seems to be the case here with UPS?
I think it's a little bit of both. This is a long-term trend that's been building for quite a while. And it's both encouraged by the healthcare law, but it mainly is aided by the healthcare law. The fact that other companies have to have health insurance makes it easier to do this. So we have a working spouse, that employer should pick up that care. That's the point.
Now, my wife and I, we work for different companies, and we just, you know, take the healthcare from whichever job gives us the best deal. Is that something that couples like us won't really be able to do as much going forward?
Nope. But those days are over. They're not over yet, but they will be over. Two factors. One is the fact that both companies will have to have some form of insurance. But the second is in 2018, about 5 years from now, there's going to be a substantial penalty imposed on what's considered to be excessive plans, Cadillac plans. A very large proportion of corporate plans will hit that tax. And nobody wants to pay a 40% excise tax on the amount above that. So they're all going to be scrambling over the next 5 years to try to hold down their health care costs. And this is an easy one.
Okay, J.B. Silvers at Case Western Reserve. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
The Federal Reserve's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, kicks off today. Fed Chair Ben Bernanke is skipping this year, but it is still an important economic event. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith reports on what the doings in cowboy country will tell us about where the economy's going.
3 years ago in Jackson Hole, Bernanke signaled a new round of bond buying to boost the economy. This year, it's all about when the Fed will scale back its stimulus. Michael Farr heads bond investment company Farr Miller and Washington.
It's a really important time for the economy and the Fed and the markets, and we're listening very closely to every utterance out of Jackson Hole.
Farr says if we hear buzzwords like soft recovery or stalled recovery, it could hint that the Fed will keep the money coming. But hints about when the Fed will start tapering that stimulus may be hard to come by, says Bill Stone with PNC Wealth Management.
Without Bernanke being there, it doesn't seem likely we'll get any sort of major clues on timing from Jackson Hole.
The other topic of interest is who will succeed Bernanke. Could we get a hint about that from Jackson Hole?
I don't seem to be getting a clue as to who the next Fed chairman is either.
Well, less news does mean more time for hiking and fly fishing. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. For Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
College football season starts next week. A record 9 new teams are joining the NCAA. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Adam Ragusea explains how one big reason for the boom has nothing to do with sports.
They're the Division I football team you've never heard of. The Mercer University Bears are days away from their first game in 7 decades. This mid-sized school in Macon, Georgia, discontinued football when all the young men left for World War II. Why bring it back now? As head coach Bobby Lamb tours the new stadium Mercer has built for him, he makes no promises to deliver those big college football dollars.
We're going to be really lucky if we break even here. Certainly most schools are doing this to attract male students.
According to the American Council on Education, women now outnumber men on campuses by more than 7%. Men are still more likely than women to be serving in the military, serving time behind bars, or doing jobs that don't require a degree. Joe Lang is a spokesman for Pacific University in Oregon.
Gender balance is something I think that all institutions of higher education value very much because of the different perspectives that people of different genders and ethnicities bring to discussion.
Pacific cut their football program 20 years ago to save money. In 2009, their student body was only 36% male. The next year, they brought football back, and voila!
The gap decreased to 58% women, 42% men.
And these aren't men who just wanted to go to a school with tailgating. Most of them are actually on the football team. 100 new guys make a difference at a small liberal arts school. Now, Mercer in Georgia is bigger, plus they're D1, which means football scholarships. People here are pretty hyped. But with all the new programs around the country, are there really enough good players to go around? Defensive end Hank Avery transferred to Mercer from the Air Force Academy.
We played against Notre Dame and Michigan, and when it comes to that level, everybody's a little bit faster and everybody's a little bit bigger. But here, our ability is the same, our character is the same. We're probably just maybe an inch or two shorter.
And they don't count height in enrollment figures. In Macon, Georgia, I'm Adam Ragusea for Marketplace.
And finally, a hedge fund manager is using deep pockets to make a very deep basement. The London multimillionaire has to pay the local government a fee of more than $1.2 million for clearance to build a luxurious two-story basement under his mansion, complete with a pool and spa. So-called iceberg homes are growing in London. Top areas only have so much real estate to offer above ground, so the super rich are tunneling under homes to make them bigger. Coming laws could restrict underground projects, so the wealthy have their contractors working like moles while they still can. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.